What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Fan Culture. This is our second episode. If you made it this far, just thank you for tuning in. We got a lot coming for y'all. We're super excited. How you feeling, Brandon?
I feel great.
You feel great. Like I said, if you made it through the first episode, just thank you again. You kind of get the format and stuff a little bit. If you haven't checked out the first episode, make sure to check it out. We're on a lot of different platforms now. You can check us out through the Anchor app. We're also on Spotify right now, Breaker, Radio Public, hopefully Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all coming soon. So look out for that. We'll let you guys know when that's on the loose. But we got a lot to get into today. The NCAA tournament, obviously Duke barely beating UCF was a very wild game.
Emphasis on barely.
Yeah, emphasis on barely. We'll get into that a little later. John Morant, has he solidified himself as the number two overall pick in the NBA draft? The NFL owners also passed a vote on pass interference calls, so we'll get into that a little later. Lonzo Ball's leaving Big Baller Brand. Wild. Kobe talking about LeBron and the Lakers. Just some NBA playoff matchups and stuff we want to see as well. We'll talk about Conor McGregor. Yusuf Nurkic's just tragic injury. But yeah, we'll get into all that. But first and foremost, we got to start with the biggest news of the week. So Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement earlier this week. Some people probably saw it coming, but still, nonetheless, it was kind of a surprise that it's been official. So you're looking at Gronk's statistics over his regular season career, 521 receptions, just over 7,800 yards, 79 touchdowns, and only 115 games played. So first and foremost, do you think Gronk's a Hall of Famer?
I think he is a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's hard to... If you play on for the New England Patriots for as long as he has, and he has, how many rings does he have?
Three? He's technically got three, but he played in two Super Bowls, okay. Or won two.
Either way, I mean, he was influential in all the Super Bowls that he actually played in.
Yeah.
And he's been a big part of, you know, their success over the years. I think he is a future Hall of Famer. I just don't know what ballot, like how quick he's going to get
in. Yeah, whether he's
going
to be first ballot, yeah. Second ballot.
I think he might be a second ballot because I saw online recently his stats next to Jason Witten's, and it was like night and day.
Kind of.
Even though Jason Witten doesn't have the Super Bowls to show for it, he definitely
he's got the longevity.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And he just... came out of retirement, which is great for the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, that's all right for the Cowboys.
Yeah, just, you know,
I don't think it's gonna win them any championships. We'll talk about that on another day. I definitely think that Gronk is a Hall of Famer. The reason being is when you think about a dude like Calvin Johnson, for example. Calvin Johnson had an era. Yeah, even though it may have been a short, you know, five years where he was the most, you know, explosive monster we've ever seen at the wide receiver position. I feel like that stuff matters. You know, Barry Sanders being the same way, retired early.
Right.
Gronk is easily the most dominant tight end I think we've ever seen. I don't know about the best.
He's up there.
I don't know about the best because when I think about the best, I think of long-term greatness. So I think of Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez put in, you know, 14, 15 years in the NFL, and he did it all at a high level.
Yeah.
I think of Shannon Sharpe.
Oh, for sure.
You know, Jason Witten's up there.
Right.
So I think of those guys more so than I think of Gronk when I think about the greatest, just because they've done it for 10, 15 years.
Right.
And, you know, Rob called it quits at nine. But I think the very underrated thing about Gronk is, so he played in 115 games. We obviously know he missed a lot of games over his career, but think about how many games where he was actually 100%. That's probably only about half of the games that he played because he played a lot of games hurt.
Well, if he had the same durability as Jason Witten, we'd probably be having a different conversation, or the durability of just a better, a different tight end than him. I mean, there's tight ends in the league right now. Travis Kelce comes to mind. He could potentially be, you know, like a Gronk type person or like a Tony Gonzalez type person or even like a Jason Witten because his durability is better. I mean, knock on wood, I wish him all the success. He's not even in our conference, but
he's in mine with the Broncos. So,
And he has a great quarterback throwing to him.
Yeah.
I mean, that team right there is set up to do really good things with Patrick Mahomes. But that's the only knock that he has for his entire career, I think, is his ability to stay healthy. And I think he's kind of like Earl Thomas in a sense, where when he's on the field, he's making a difference. When he's off the field, it's like, it's, what's the point of all this? You know what I mean? Because if I'm paying, first of all, if I'm paying you X amount of dollars to play a position and you can't even play the position, let alone help us win games, then we have nothing to talk about. But I mean, it sucks. It sucks. Some players just can't stay healthy. It's just, it's just the way it goes.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely one of those guys. It sucks that his career got cut short because of that. I mean, I know he has the future beyond football. I heard that he manages money well, so he's in a good position. He's a smart dude, although he makes it seem like he's very dumb sometimes. He's smart with his money.
I could see him as a sports analyst.
Yeah, no, no, I definitely could.
TV personality.
Yeah, and, you know, I think real football fans understand his importance to the Patriots.
For sure.
Even when he's on the field and he's not 100%, you can't just line up with him one-on-one. You got to have a linebacker on him. You got to have your best safety on him.
At all times.
Exactly.
Double coverage.
Exactly, you know exactly. And he was a great run blocker as well. You know, look at how their run game, you know, how good their run game was this past season.
For sure, for sure. Maybe that's why I think he, well, his style of play is much more, well, I shouldn't even say aggressive, because, I mean, football is aggressive in general, but he takes hits. He'll jump in the air. Yeah. He'll go get catches, and you know what I mean. It's hard to tackle him to the ground.
Yeah.
He tries to break tackles. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
He gets everyone's best shot. It's kind of like how Hackershack was, where people were just completely all over Shaq. Yeah. You know, the hardest foul they could deliver. And, you know, just because Shaq was as big as he was, you know, he just takes it. Doesn't mean that it isn't causing any impact or is going to, you know, lead to some long-term injuries down the road. Gronk was getting a lot of people's best shots, especially at his knees.
Side note, imagine being like a Shaq or a LeBron James or even Dwight Howard. Remember Dwight Howard when in his prime, like on Orlando? Like,
yeah.
Like, how do you stop a guy like that?
Hack him. That's pretty much the
like,
only thing.
The game plan kind of goes out the window. You're just like,
yeah,
just run into him.
Because there's literally no way to prepare for that. If you've never played against Dwight Howard, you never played against Shaq, you have no idea what to expect until they start backing you down and you realize you just got hit by a Mack truck.
Man, those Shaq highlights are crazy. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I mean, if you're that, I mean, because Gronk is, he's 6'7"?
It's like 6'7", like 275, yeah, somewhere like, in that range.
Yeah, that's a big guy.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot to take him down.
Right.
I think the New England Patriots is the best. I think I said this last episode, but the best run organization in sports, honestly. I think, well, the Patriots, the Yankees, those are a few that come to mind.
The premier organization. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Just like the storied kind of, well, I mean, New England is considered one of those now. I mean, you can't win that many Super Bowls or be in that many Super Bowls and not be that caliber of organization.
Yeah.
But I mean, they just get it. They find a way to get it done. They're kind of like the Spurs in a sense, where people just kind of like ignore them.
Yeah. They're boring for the most part. You pretty much know what's going to happen. Eventually Brady's going to lead them on a game winning drive they're going to be methodical in how they break you down, but they don't get the big, you know, exciting plays. They're going to be on SportsCenter top 10 and all that.
Right. Brady to me is like the old guy, but when he takes off his shirt, he's like ripped.
Yeah. He's the dude at the rec center that like, oh, nah, he can't play.
Right.
And then he comes in because he's so cerebral.
Right.
And he's really five steps ahead of you.
Right.
You know, he's not faster than you. He's not more athletic than you, but he can break you down because he's playing chess and you guys are playing checkers.
Man, and he's married to, what's her name?
Giselle, yeah.
Bundchen?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, now that I think of it, when I'm thinking about Gronk, honestly, the Patriots are so flexible when it comes to their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many times they've gone out there, depending on the personnel, the defensive personnel, and said, you know what, we're going to throw the ball 50 times this game. And then they come to the next game, you know, different personnel, and say, you know what, we're going to run the ball 40 times.
Right.
Think about if Gronk was with a dude like, or with a team like Kansas City, where they're consistently throwing the ball 40 to 50 times. Obviously, that's going to lead to more targets for Gronk. So probably an average of what, 8 to 10 targets a game.
For sure.
More opportunities. He's already got great stats as it is in only 9 years. Just imagine had that been consistent over the span of his entire career.
Well, I mean, they would have been better just because, I mean, if he would have been healthy and on the field, I'm pretty sure Brady would have been throwing to him.
Yeah, for sure. But I think we can both agree he's a Hall of Famer. Even with his stats, he was the most dominant tight end, you know, for a good portion of time he was on the field.
For sure.
He's one of those dudes where you couldn't just simply sleep on him, even if you knew he was hurt. Because he, just like how he did in the Super Bowl, he made the one big play that happened all Super Bowl
that eventually led to a touchdown. He's had so much gear.
That arm brace. Yeah. I always thought, like, is his arm hurt again? He just started wearing that stuff just for protection.
You know
what
he reminds me of? The Terminator.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's just
every time you knock him down and, like, he gets back up with that red eye.
Right. Man. Yeah, but no, shout out to Gronk. He'll definitely be missed in the NFL.
Enjoy retirement.
Yeah. Enjoy retirement.
Enjoy being healthy.
Yeah, enjoy being healthy. Right. Seriously. I can't imagine the going from the everyday grind of, you know, training and focusing on your body and you know, basically running into a car accident every single time you're on the field. You don't have to do it anymore.
Do you remember conditioning?
I hated preseason conditioning so much. It was needed. I could definitely use it. I mean, I've added way too many LBs. So, but no, I mean, that's just imagine, you know, you don't have to wake up and, you know, for OTAs anymore. You know, you can work out when you want to work out and maintain your fitness that way.
Part of it is annoying, or it was annoying just working with certain individuals or personnels or.
Yeah.
Just the mundaneness of, is that a word? Mundaneness?
Well, we get where you're coming from. Yeah.
Of how mundane it was in like the day to day. It wasn't, it started to like, I don't know. I feel like I started to get a little jaded, but I think now I feel like I would be more locked in because I'd be more, I don't know. I'm more mature now.
But. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that, and I've kind of heard players say this when it comes to them finally retiring. It's not that they lost the love of the game. It's just they don't want to do the preparation anymore. That's the part that really, you know, messes them up mentally
and
physically.
People forget you're literally watching some of the fittest people, human beings on the planet. Yeah. Like,
and if you slip just a little bit, it's going to show on the court, on the field.
Kobe's my favorite player, and he is arguably one of the he's one of the best players of all time.
Yeah.
But I remember I used to like listen to him talk about like the milliseconds, the inches. Like he was trying to shave seconds off of his time, like his cutback time.
Yeah.
And how obsessed he was with that, having that mentality and driving his products, which was super interesting to see him talk about that. But it's a, like, you can tell, like, the ones that really invest in their health and in their fitness and in their craft, and the ones that don't, and the ones that they're kind of just there because they did it up to a point, or they just have that much God-given talent and their talent only takes them so far. But I hear LeBron invests a crazy amount.
Yeah, they said over $1 million a year, something like that, towards his conditioning,
just
fitness.
Just like his health, just keeping him in tip-top shape, which is no surprise to me. Arguably the best athlete in the world.
Right.
He's been like a dominant force
since he's been in the league. Yeah.
And before that, but. Yeah, I mean, to keep your body in the right shape, to be competitive, even if the team isn't up to par with how of your fitness, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So shout out to Gronk. Enjoy your retirement. You know, like Bill Belichick says, do your job, next man up. So they'll get someone else in the fold to replace him real soon.
They'll trade for Travis Kelce.
Right, yeah, something crazy like that. Yeah. Something only the Patriots can do.
Yeah.
So shout out to Gronk. Enjoy your retirement.
For sure.
Next, we're going to move on to the NCAA tournament. Been pretty intense so far, but at the same time, fairly quiet. I know at this point we're used to having some major Cinderella to link on to, but it hasn't quite happened this year.
It's already in the Sweet 16, right?
Yeah, Oregon's in the Sweet 16. They pulled off an upset in the first round. They beat a 7 seed. I can't remember off the top of my head who it was.
But how's then your bracket?
You know, I ended up not even doing a bracket. I ran out of time. I was actually editing the podcast, and you know, by the time it was time to post it, I needed to have my brackets done, and I didn't in time. So yeah, I actually didn't do a bracket because I wanted to post this for you guys, the listeners. So don't ever question our dedication for y'all. But yeah, no, I didn't get to do my bracket, and it's probably good that I didn't. Because it's been kind of boring, just a little bit. I mean, the biggest storyline has been Duke, and we'll talk about Duke a little later specifically. But Oregon isn't really a Cinderella story. I mean, they beat UC Irvine in the second round. UC Irvine pulled off an upset in the first round too, but just to lose in the second round. We're always focusing on the teams that make it further than the Sweet 16. Like, who'd they beat? Can they actually win?
Was it Kansas?
They beat K-State. K-State. So, but even then, like, K-State wasn't like could they potentially win it all.
Hasn't been good since, what's his name? Coach Martin?
Yeah, there? Yeah. So, I mean, hasn't really had that much of an impact or been that big of a deal. Right. So, overall, the tournament's been fairly quiet. I can't really think of any significant standouts outside of, you know, your normal teams that you expect, where it's like, oh, wait, this dude is really, you know, his draft stock is shooting up.
Well, this year, I feel like, I mean, the media is definitely driving a certain storyline that they want. It's because it gets a lot of clicks and it gets a lot of views, which is Duke going to the Final Four, and you know, I mean, all of, you know, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett.
Yeah, you type in the word Zion, automatic 1,000 hits.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But I mean, you have Ja Morant.
Yeah,
you have, you know, Kobe White, which is who's having an incredible freshman year.
Yeah, North Carolina's silently playing very well so far.
We're running on all cylinders right now, which is good. But I think the true test will be like the Elite Eight and on.
Right, right.
You know,
and it's funny because I went back to our last episode and thought about some of the teams to watch out for. We had mentioned Ole Miss, but it was actually Auburn.
Coaches
Auburn, and they're in the Sweet 16. You're right about that one as a team to watch out for. Bruh. So we'll see what they're capable of moving forward. But game, Bruce Pearl is a heck of a coach.
Do yourself a favor if you're listening right now. Look at the highlights from the Auburn and Tennessee game, 2019. Auburn was shooting, man. I'm telling you, I need to go back and watch it because it was just great basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most exciting game I've seen, partly because my work schedule. But I mean, I could go back and look at highlights.
So I mean, we'll definitely watch out for Auburn. I think you and I both called Kansas didn't even make it to the Sweet 16.
Nah.
Like, coming in as a 4 seed, that's usually much lower than they usually come in at. But still, nonetheless, a second round exit is pretty much on brand for them.
Do you think Bill Self has tenure and that he'll never get fired? I feel like Bill Self will only get fired if there's like a scandal.
Yeah, he'll only get fired if there's a scandal or if someone comes in and simply just takes the Big 12 from them and Kansas is no longer really running the Big 12 anymore. Right. If they start to sink into the mix with, you know, Texas and Texas Tech and all these other teams, I feel like then it might be like, okay, well, we need to go in another direction. You know, we are questioning your recruiting because he's not getting the big name recruits anymore.
I think Texas, you mentioned Texas, it made me think of Shaka Smart.
Yeah.
I think he's a great coach. He did take that VCU team to, was it the Final Four one year?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the Final Four.
Yeah. And I think he can coach basketball. His personnel hasn't always been there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. And when you mentioned Oregon earlier, it kind of reminded me of like Michigan State.
They
get up to a certain point and then they kind of fizzle out for whatever reason. Or they just run into a team that's better.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that. But yeah, it hasn't been crazy exciting. And I just want my Tar Heels to make it to another final. That's all I want. Yeah. Villanova is not in there anymore.
Yeah, so Villanova's out.
I ain't got to worry about Chris Jenkins.
Right, right. Yeah, no Josh no Hart. Craziness this year. Their best player is no longer on the squad. Right. I think everyone kind of knew that was a lightning in a bottle year for Villanova. You know, when all their players either declared and went to the draft, you know, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo.
Right. It's Omari weird because Spellman. None of them are really doing a lot in the league right now. Like DiVincenzo.
I know he's been hurt or he had been hurt. He just recently came back from like Bucks. A foot stress fracture. Yeah,
he just had a crazy game in that final. Yeah. But like Chris Jenkins not in the final. I mean, in the final. He's not in the league. Josh Hart's in the league. He's doing pretty decent on the Lakers.
Yeah. I know Omari Spellman is with the Hawks, I believe. But okay. You hear more Trae Young, you know, in terms of rookies there more than Omari Spellman.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, it's been a fairly quiet tournament. Quiet everywhere, but where Duke goes. We all know it's loud where Duke is at.
Right.
So that's going to take us right into preaching or reaching. If you don't know already, Duke barely survived UCF. By the skin of their teeth. That was just a wild game. Whether you're rooting for Duke or you were against Duke, it was a heck of a game to watch. So with that narrow win against UCF, because UCF was a 9 seed, and Duke, obviously, as we know, is the number one overall seed. So Duke's narrow win proves that they will not win the title. Is that preaching or reaching?
I'm going to say that's reaching just because, and... That sounded terrible coming out of my mouth.
Being a Tar Heel fan. So you just said that Duke's gonna win it all.
No,
got it. All right, thanks y'all for tuning in.
That's a reach. Make it there. That's one thing, but to win the whole thing, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
I think Duke, when they're playing their style of basketball, which is the only style of basketball they like to play, I compare them to the Fab Five a lot, just because they have a lot of young talent and a lot of I guess you would say a lot of chemistry and a lot of they play with a lot of motion, which is dope to see.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you run into a team, especially when you have a lot of mature players, which is why Villanova was so great that year that they beat us.
Right.
And they won it again, I think, with DiVincenzo and
Jalen Brunson was a senior.
Yeah, you know, all those guys, because they had mature players who could play under pressure.
Right.
I think when you're young, sometimes all that excitement, you know what I mean? I remember playing in high school and we were playing one of our rivals and we were just killing them in the first quarter. And then my coach was like, calm down. You know what I mean? Because all that adrenaline, right? That's what I was saying. Sustaining that for the entire tournament is hard to do.
Yeah.
It takes a toll on your body. But I mean, if they're able to do it, they're able to do it. I think it's a reach to say they won't continue to advance though.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it's a reach as well. If you watch the game, it was a heck of a game for a couple reasons. Obviously we all know Taco Fall, 7'6".
Did you see the meme or the picture of him like on his knees next to like the 6'6"?
And he was still like even with someone, which is just wild. But no, I definitely think that UCF, shout out Johnny Dawkins. He actually went to Duke, used to be a part of the Duke coaching staff as well. He just had a heck of a game plan. He figured out something. He figured out that Trae Jones, Duke's point guard, can't shoot. So I don't know if you saw at one point, they play like this, like almost loose zone, or it was a loose man, but more so when Trae Jones had the ball at the 3-point line, Taco Fall was guarding him, but Taco Fall wasn't guarding him because he was 2 feet away from the basket. They were allowing Trae Jones to just shoot the three, and he shot 1 for 8 from the three. He made one big one, but basically that's like, you know, just drive killers or possession killers. You know, the shot from Trae Jones from three, because that's not what you want.
Right.
But when Taco wasn't in the game, Zion got loose. Zion had 32 points. I mean, Zion did his thing, but then there were a lot of attempts at the rim when Taco was in there where, you know, he was missing those ones that he usually makes against anyone. But Taco's 7'6".
But is Zion going to be that player, though, like to close games? Because that's the same thing that happened with when he played us. You know what I mean? Like, it went down to the wire and he made a play. I mean, that happens with you know, great players.
Yeah.
They know how to close out games.
Yeah.
But is he going to do that at the next level? Is he going to like carry a team? I mean, just trying to figure out what kind of player he's going to be. I don't care of like putting him in a box or classifying him. I just don't know what's going
to
happen.
And I think that's the intrigue when it comes to him. I don't know what's going to happen at the next level, but I know he did it against UCF because no one showed up against UCF. Cam Reddish was in foul trouble. So granted, he scored 13 points, but he was out for a significant portion of the game.
That's pretty good,
though. He got in foul trouble.
That's pretty good.
RJ Barrett, I think he eventually scored like 18, but that was on 6 of 15 shooting. Obviously, he got the big putback, which put them ahead. But other than that, no one really showed up. And Duke plays a short rotation. They only had 7 players actually play. Zion had 32 of their 72 points.
I would say Zion... first of all, I hope he goes. You know where I hope he goes?
Where?
I hope he goes to New York.
Yeah, I think everyone wants him. New York needs him.
New York?
The NBA needs him in New York.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
He's going to put butts in the seats, but I don't know how many games they're going to win. But,
right.
I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
I think, but the players for Duke, Trey Jones,
Trey
right?
Jones, yeah.
His brother is Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
Tyus is a better shooter. But I think Trey could potentially be a better player.
Trey is a hellacious defender. When they went to their 2-2-1 full court press, they forced multiple turnovers solely because of Trey Jones.
Oh,
so
for real.
He's got the defense.
He's a little bigger, is he?
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like if you put Tyus Jones and Trey Jones together, you'd have an elite point guard.
If you put who?
If you put Trey Jones and Tyus Jones together, that'd be an elite point guard. Trey Jones has the defense. Tyus Jones has the ball handling and the shooting. Trey Jones has the passing.
Who in the league is already like that?
It's like all of them together?
Right, right. Because he's not that tall. I was thinking of Dame, but like Dame isn't an elite defender. You don't have to be an elite defender.
It would probably be like a Chris Paul in his prime. A little bit, because Chris Paul is known for being a hellacious defender. Maybe not more so the past couple of years because he's been hurt, but before that, you know, his Clippers days and going back to his Hornets days, he was a heck of a defender.
His Hornets days, bro, he was like, he'd ruin your day.
Yeah,
you know, and he'd cross up your best player.
Right, right, man. And you know, when you think going back to this Duke game. Obviously, there's a lot of controversy, you know, regarding some of the calls at the end. Zion missed the free throw. They say RJ Barrett pushed his man in the back. Even before that, when Zion did get the and one, they thought he, you know, drew a charge before that.
Right.
And I get those by the book. Those are fouls. And I, you know, college basketball, they typically call those. But nonetheless, we always say we don't want to have referees, you know, call the games and decide the games. But then when a referee, you know, holds
their
whistle, then we're like, no, you should have called that. You should have called that.
Right. They can't win, honestly, especially when it comes to the end game, because that's when everybody's paying attention to every call.
Exactly. And everyone's tugging. Everyone's pushing. Everyone's pulling. Are you going to call every single thing?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, It just happens to be because it's Duke. It's the biggest player in college basketball. It was a matchup that they probably should have lost. And mind you, we talked about this last episode. NCAA should change it to 6 fouls.
That's true.
I guarantee you, if it was 6 fouls, Duke would have lost. Because Taco Fall would have been in the game.
They would have lost against UNC, too.
Yeah, because Taco Fall ended up fouling out. He got in foul trouble early as well.
Yeah,
if it was six fouls, he would have been in longer and Duke would have lost that game.
Of course he got in the foul trouble early.
Right.
You're not going to have, like, first of all, nobody's coming to see Taco.
Right.
Your name's Taco. They're coming to see Zion Williamson.
Right, right.
And all of these, I don't know, what do you think? Do you think media industries have... you know, equity or like ties to, you know, make sure games have certain outcomes because I mean, it could be linked to commercials. Unless there's a Lehigh situation and then, which is hilarious because I was watching, what's his name? Filet's Instagram earlier today. And he covered CJ McCollum's dismantling of the Duke Blue Devils.
Single-handedly.
I loved it, bro. It was so great. And he's He was in his bag.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're not gonna, if I'm NBC or whoever that's televising, right, ESPN, I'm just not gonna have like Zion Williamson and the Duke Blue Devils, Coach K. Like, I'm just gonna allow them to. If there was a game that swings, just like this game,
yeah,
I'm just gonna allow them to lose. No, they have to be decimated. Like Lehigh decimated, yeah, them.
I mean, I don't think that they have equity in, you know, determining the outcome or influencing the outcome. The reason being is because if you want to talk about someone, you're going to talk about them regardless. So even if we weren't talking about Duke still being in the tournament right now, mm-hmm, the conversation would still be about Zion.
For
period.
Sure. For sure.
Or they would manipulate it in some way to talk about how, you know, UCF shouldn't have even made it because this call wasn't made and Duke should have advanced and we needed Zion and all this stuff. Or we just jump forward to, okay, Zion being the number one pick. You know, what team is he going to go to?
Would you watch that game? The final four with UCF in it? Would you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Whoever they play?
No, I would watch it. But, I mean, because UCF is a heck of a team. Aubrey Dawkins, Johnny Dawkins' son, he dropped 32.
Sheesh. On Duke.
He almost single-handedly won that game for them as well. And he was in one of those zones where when, right, he shoots it, you just know what's going in. And when he misses it, you're shocked.
I gotta go back and watch the highlights for that game.
You have to. I would recommend honestly watching the game from beginning to end. Okay. Not even watching the highlights.
Just
to be
game
involved in, okay, the energy and, okay, all that stuff. Like, it was a heck of a game. And, you know, there were just runs back and forth. So even when someone would start to pull away and they go up by eight, right, UCF will go on a 10-1 run. Duke, right, will go on a 12-2 run. Jeez. So it was just a constant roller coaster back and forth.
That's what
and
I
just
love
a perfect
about,
climax.
That's what I love about March Madness.
Yeah.
It's just such a dope, because the stakes are so high.
Yeah, yeah. And it was literally, you know, we talked about it a little bit off air. When Aubrey Dawkins' tip-in almost went in to, mm-hmm, put UCF ahead and practically, right, win the game, if you watch that replay, the way it rolled out, it was like that movie, The Sixth Man, where Kenny Tyler's brother was like a ghost and like,
right,
moved the ball and,
right,
stuff. Like, that's the only way that tip-in could, right, have not gone in.
Two.
Yeah, yeah. It's just wild. Like, it was, he laid it up so softly. 999 out of 1,000 times, that's going in. But that was the one time that it just, dang, rolls out, and it was, dang, just insane. But definitely shout out Duke, shout out UCF. They put up a heck of a game. That's been my favorite game of the tournament by far.
Do you think RJ Barrett will become a better player than Zion, or out of the four that go there, that go to Duke? I think he's going to become the best player out of all four.
Become the best?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about RJ Barrett. I like him. I like his skill set. He kind of reminds me of Julius Randle a little bit, where coming out of college, Julius Randle didn't have a right hand. RJ doesn't have a right hand either.
Right.
You know, you look at some of the lefties in the league, obviously James Harden being the premier one. James Harden can finish with either hand. He can attack you with either hand. But
did he learn that, or did he already have that in college?
I think he learned it a little bit. Okay. He had it to an extent in college, but it wasn't, okay, obviously, oh, wait, this dude is unstoppable.
Right.
You know, one of the best one-on-one players, you know, in league history type thing. But I would say RJ has to develop right hand, especially if you're going to be, yeah, especially if you're going to be on the perimeter, you need to have a bag, and you're only going to have half a bag if you only have moves with your left.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. If we played like middle schoolers right now, I wouldn't need to like use all the, I wouldn't have to go deep in my bag to,
right,
like score. I would just, you know, back them down or just like shoot over the top.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like he's at that point. Lonzo went through this, you know what I mean? Where,
right,
you're better than everybody up to a point, and then you're like, oh, I have to get better at the thing that I don't have to use all the time.
Right, right.
So I think that'll be RJ. I just don't know what kind of player, who he reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because how tall is he?
It's like 6'7", 205. It's just a little concerning right now because...
Like a Tracy McGrady, maybe?
Maybe.
A left-handed Tracy McGrady?
Yeah, it's just funny because I think about the UCF game, And that was a game for him to show up and make impact. I get he had to tip in at the end.
Right.
But outside of that, he was quiet in that game. It was Zion that carried him completely. And you would think in those kind of situations, okay, we need a bucket. Let's go to RJ. That bucket never came from him. It was coming from Zion every single time. Well,
I did see, and I talked about this last episode, I did see one game where RJ struggled. They lost.
Yeah.
I think either they lost or Cam Reddish saved them.
Yeah.
I think at the very end with the three.
Right. Four.
But it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah. But then we've also shown, you know, it's not a significant sample size, but still, Zion missed some games. He missed about six games. So we got to see RJ lead, and Duke wasn't very impressive. You know, and I think part of that falls on RJ. You know, when you're talking about, you know, going somewhere as, you know, a top five draft pick, they're expecting you to be that dude. So I'm gonna have questions about whether he'll be able to be that dude in the league. I think he has the skill set and the capabilities to do so. But some, a lot of people are just built different.
I just like his mentality.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really want to talk about Duke so much because we haven't even talked about Kobe White. We haven't talked about Nassir Little. We haven't talked about.
We got a lot of other players to talk about as well.
Cameron Johnson, who's having a crazy year. Luke May, the GOAT.
Yeah. Luke May, I feel like he's the next Tyler Hansbrough. he's a great college player.
Yeah. I don't know how you may just have to
leave. You may just have to leave it at that when it comes to Luke May.
Kelly Olynyk's in the league.
Yeah, true. I mean,
and does he start?
I don't know if he. I think he's like the sixth man off the bench. So
Cody Zeller is still in the league.
Yeah, yeah. No, he can definitely carve out a niche. he's shown he's capable. But no, it'll be interesting to see. Since we're talking about, you know, the NCAA tournament, I know we mentioned Ja Morant just for a quick second.
Right.
But let's go ahead and jump into him right now. Nice. Yeah. Pause. So when we're talking about Ja Morant, obviously he had that huge triple double in the first round, and that's when all of a sudden, you know, mainstream media, Ja Morant, who is this guy?
He should be the
number one overall pick. But you know, he definitely put his name on the map.
Yeah.
So I mean, when you're looking at it, look at his performance from the NCAA tournament. That proves that he should be the number two overall pick in the next draft. Is that preaching or reaching?
That's a very good question. First of all, I would like to say I wasn't a Ja Morant fan until very recently. And that's not because of social media. I was always aware of him, but like, I didn't really pay attention to his game.
Yeah.
I knew he could play. Obviously, if you're going to Murray State and people are talking about you, I think you can hoop for sure. Maybe it was kind of like that Dame Lillard situation. There's a lot of like players that go to the league. I mean, even Klay Thompson, Kyle Kuzma. Like, who was paying attention to Kyle Kuzma when he was in college?
Right. No one.
Nobody, right? So, I mean, there's hoopers everywhere. I just think, and I'm avoiding your question. I think it's a reach. I think... As good as he is, I think it'll come down to necessity for whoever gets those picks. So if, let's say I have the number two pick, and who has a trash season right now?
Let's say Cleveland.
Brooklyn Nets? Cleveland?
No, Brooklyn's having a good season. They're a playoff team.
Oh, I'm tripping. Yeah. It's different this year. But yeah. Or Phoenix, right? Let's say I'm Phoenix, right? And I have an option to get Ja Morant. I have Devin Booker. Do I need another guard, or do I need to go and get like an RJ Barrett to complement a Josh Jackson, or do I need to go get a big, or you know, a tweener guy? I think it'll just come down to that. I see him top five.
Yeah.
I see him top five. It's hard to pass on a guy like that because he just seems so naturally, he just takes to the game so well. You know what I mean? The moves that the dunk that I saw him make over the guy, and that was a beautiful play, by the way.
Yeah,
well, whoever drew that up, shout outs to them.
Right,
where it's like a back cut, and just like a back cut. I remember just like forget that. Forget that I was even going to say. I think he's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. But like just the moves that he makes me think that he's an NBA player.
Yeah.
Period.
No, I mean, he definitely moves like an NBA player. I'll agree with you on the fact that if the number two overall pick is a team that doesn't need a point guard, I understand that. But outside of that, I'll say it's preaching because let's say I'll disagree with you. And I'll say a team like Phoenix does need a point guard like Ja Morant. They've already got, you know, Devin Booker on the wing. They have TJ Warren, Josh Jackson, DeAndre Ayton. I would say the biggest need they have is a point guard. You know, there's been several sequences where Devin Booker is playing point guard. He could use a dude like Ja Morant that's actually setting him up to make it easier for a guy like Devin Booker. I know Ja averaged about 25 points a game, about 5 rebounds a game, and then also 10 assists. The most impressive thing to me, honestly, is the 10 assists. I feel like great
That's ball, hard to do.
Yeah, in college especially. I feel like great ball handlers and passers in the college level, that stuff translates.
Right.
Look at Trae Young. Trae Young was a very great passer, which people didn't really talk about, and that's carried over to, you know, what he's doing in the league. I feel like that's going to make a biggest difference. Some people have compared Ja Morant to like a more well-rounded Westbrook or Rondo
If you mix both of them, maybe.
Yeah, he doesn't have the defensive intensity of a Rondo to me, and not quite the explosiveness of a Westbrook.
He's more fluid though than Westbrook. Like I can see him. I guess because he's bouncy. I think that's just why he's bouncy.
Yeah.
He can get up there. But other than that, I don't really see the comparison.
Yeah.
I'd see more like Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I would definitely agree with that. I could definitely see more Penny. People don't really Penny. Can't really do those comparisons.
You know what was the saddest thing ever? When I was in the store, we had some Penny Hardaways on the rack, and it was like the last size, and I was trying to sell them.
Yeah.
I'll just be real. I was trying to sell them, and the kid didn't know who Penny Hardaway was, and I was like, "Man, like I told him, I said, when you get home, go on YouTube, look up Penny Hardaway."
Yeah,
like that was nice.
The whole generation that
was nice,
know.
Nice. The dad didn't know either.
No, oh, how old was the dad?
I don't know. He was 18? At least 30 plus.
Wow.
He was like he looked like he was in his like 30s to 40s. And he didn't know who Penny Hardaway was.
Did you tell him to look Penny Hardaway up too?
I think I did.
Yeah, nah, and they probably should watch it together, especially with that Momo challenge. I want him trying to search on YouTube kids, Penny Hardaway. that'd be a recipe for disaster potentially. So, yeah, no, but I definitely think Ja has a chance.
I like his game.
Yeah, nah, for sure. So we'll jump into this next topic. So this actually just broke earlier today. So the NFL owners placed a vote and passed a ruling for the pass interference calls. So basically what they're going to be doing for this next season is pass interference calls, offensive and defensive, you can throw a challenge flag and ask that it be reviewed. Also, this applies, I think, more importantly to non-calls. So let's say if, you know, you didn't throw a flag on a play and I think it's defensive pass interference, I can throw the flag and be like, hey, I want y'all to review that. So this can be challenged pretty much any point except for the last 2 minutes of the first and second half.
Right.
Which is wild. Obviously, we all know this is because of the way that the Saints and Rams game played out. So do you feel like this is going... I feel like this is probably going to end up ruining, you know, the whole idea of officiating in general. I mean, the official just... I feel like we shouldn't have to make a rule because a group of officials were dumb enough to miss a blatant call. We shouldn't have to make a new rule because of it. It was just some idiot referees.
Well, there's a lot of things, and I want to unpack it in a way that makes sense. First, I feel like partly this is because it's another opportunity to sell stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you think they're going to televise all of these calls? No, they're going to go to a commercial break. And that's another opportunity to generate
or
money.
Or more advertisements and all that.
Secondly, I feel like this is a super dumb idea. I mean, in a perfect world, right, this would be really dope. And then this would help get a lot of calls right. Because you want the correct call to be right. Depending on who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're on the team that where the call doesn't help you, no, you don't want to have to review a call.
Right.
I see this this vote or this ruling turning into like a petty call. Like coaches like stalling, disrupting flow of like, because people do it. People try to ice you already. Yeah. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not use this to challenge, even if, especially, oh man, Bill Belichick seems like, oh, bet.
He's going to find a loophole and they're going to have
for
to change
sure.
it. He's going to find a loophole. He's going to find some way to benefit the team as a result.
He's like, oh, bet. They only have one timeout left. Let me just da, da, da.
Right. You know what I mean? He's going to use the challenge almost as a timeout in that kind of circumstance.
Right.
You know?
You know what I mean?
I don't think that part of the reason I think this is a terrible idea is just think about in basketball, for example. How many possessions where there was no foul called or anything like that, mm-hmm. where someone went over your back for a rebound, or they pushed you and there was a loose ball foul that wasn't called, or there was a reaching call? Pass interference is something that happens almost every single play.
For sure.
And I feel like it's really dumb because you're not going to go back and review every single pass play to see if there was pass interference, whether it was on the offense or the defense. And on top of that, I understand that we already review calls and there's already challenges for, you know, out of bounds, did he catch it in bounds, out of bounds, all that stuff. Those kind of things are concrete where it's a yes or a no answer. Right. But when you're thinking about pass interference, those are based on interpretation. Think about how many referees that you've had call a game loosely where they just let the players play and they don't make the calls, or they call it super tight. So now you're basing something like this on a referee's interpretation. They may say the hand jostling isn't that big of a deal, no pass interference, but by the book it's pass interference. So it's changing the whole aspect of the game, and I don't think it's going to be good long term.
It's not going to be good when there's like really competitive matchups, because if I'm like the best at my position, like let's say I'm, you know, Patrick Mahomes, or you know, or like a wide receiver. I was thinking about a wide receiver, but I didn't want to say OBJ because he's a cop out, but and I'm just like that nice to where I can just get around you, or like it doesn't matter what's called. I caught it anyway. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. I feel like in those situations, it's going to work out in the favor of the team, the offensive team or the offense. But when it's not going to work is when there's two like people on the same level,
right?
Like defensively, like let's say there was a corner, like you imagine think back to the Josh Norman and OBJ matchup.
Yeah,
that game probably would have took another hour to finish because of all the like
reviewing, you know all what I mean? The extracurricular stuff going on.
So I just don't, and it's just gonna eat up so much time. It's like, is this a baseball game? You know how in baseball where they have like 14 innings. You know what I mean? Like, I got to go home.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think we can both agree it's just a bad idea long term. I understand wanting to get the call right, but there have been countless games that have been decided over the years where a bad call was made and that dictated or helped impact the outcome of the game. But it didn't, you know, by itself determine how the game was necessarily going to play out. So, I mean, just have referees make better calls, period. Yeah. You know, we shouldn't have to review everything, because then that's going to delegitimize the aspect of even having a referee. Why don't we just develop a robot to, you know, properly track everything and say, out of bounds?
I have a question. There's world-class, like, athletes. Do you think we need world-class referees where their fitness is better than what it is, or where they can keep up with the pace of the game? They have to have a certain, like, you know, vision score. I mean, I'm sure that all this is kind of like a part of to become a ref. But do you think they need to raise the bar a little bit just so the officiating is? Do you think that would improve the officiating?
You know, I don't know. And the only reason I won't give you an answer is just because, like you said, we don't know if that may already be part of what they do. And maybe the standards and everything are just fine. I don't think it's ever really been an issue where, you know, a referee just simply couldn't physically see it, or, you know, they were not in, you know, the view or whatever, because they couldn't catch up to the action.
Right.
I think it's just been situations where in their mind they had a brain fart, or they justified it from a completely different perspective. It was just the different perspective from what, you know, we as the fans and, you know, media thought about, you know, the call. So I'm not going to say the referees aren't fit to do the job.
Right.
But they just absolutely have to do a better job.
Right.
So Yeah, no, that's kind of how I feel about that.
What do we got up next?
Next, we got some honorable mention topics. So if you didn't hear, Lonzo Ball has left Big Baller Brand. The reason being is because one of the co-founders, Alan Foster, actually was blamed by Lonzo for leaving basically $1.5 million unaccounted for. It came out of some of Lonzo's personal accounts and his business accounts, and wow. Alan Foster can't answer to where it's at. I've kind of been watching out a little bit, and Alan Foster has a record. So he's been involved in money laundering and fraud and all this stuff.
I heard Shannon Sharp talk about this earlier. Yeah,
and I mean, I don't get how, and maybe LeVar knew. I've heard that he's known this guy for about 10 years or whatever. Maybe he knew his background. Maybe he didn't, because this dude's actually served prison time, you know, because of it. So it's not like
is he like a childhood friend? Like who is he? A friend of the family? Like who is he?
So the story is that his son and Lonzo went to the same middle school together in like seventh grade or something like that. So I think they kind of linked up then, and he's kind of known him since then. I don't know if they necessarily consider themselves friends or if LeVar considers them friends. Mm-hmm. But you know, obviously he trusted him enough to go into business with him. I know how it can be in the black community, because you get people that you trust, and whether they actually right. have the business acumen or competency to do it, it's like, okay, I'd rather just go to someone I trust as opposed to let me just go to someone that's professional and has previously done this and I don't know them at all.
Well, even to take a step further, just contractually have somebody do something that you've hired them to do. Right. You know what I mean? Like, so if that did come up, you could contractually like sue them for yeah. not filling that, you know, or just siphoning off money, all that other stuff. But yeah, I've never really understood, like, I mean, when you get rich, right, and people that's the goal, right. That's the goal is to get rich, but to not leave the hood, yeah. which makes zero sense to me.
Right.
Why would you stay in the hood with all that money? I mean, you don't want to talk down on the hood either, but I mean, like, I'm not going to be a millionaire and not have nothing to protect my money,
right,
or myself, or yeah. or my assets, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not gonna blame Lonzo in this at all, because I think we all know that Big Baller Brand has been LeVar's. It's really been his vision,
his putting putting
his boy's face at the right. at the front of it. Well, particularly Lonzo, because at least he's the only one that's in the NBA right now.
He's lived vicariously through three.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Three of his sons.
Seriously. And I feel like, I mean, I'm not going to accuse him of doing this, but it's just what I see, or this is what I kind of gain from what I've seen. It seems like LeVar has been, you know, kind of the microphone saying, you know, we're going to do this, this, and this. And, you know, Alan Foster came along and he said, you know, I'm going to have you handle the money. But think about situations. I know when he's on his media tour and stuff like that, and they asked him, OK, are the shoes selling? How many units have you sold? He couldn't answer to that.
This
stuff.
Happened and I think from he the didn't, beginning.
Yeah. Though. And this happened from the beginning. Yeah. And I feel like he's never really been involved in the money quality, aspect man. Of it. He just literally handed all of the financial duties and rights and permissions over to this dude.
That's not smart.
And he just finessed your son.
Yeah.
You know.
And now y'all both look stupid. I mean, you've looked pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And from the beginning.
Right.
Well, not from the beginning, but like through a good part of it. But I mean, Lonzo to me, he's a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I've met a lot of talented kids, but he's a kid.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if he can do whatever he wants with his career. He's playing with one of the best players to ever play, LeBron James. He's playing with Brandon Ingram, who I think still can write his own story. I feel like Kuz has tremendous upside. So I think, you know, his career is still laid out. How many
right.
years has he played? Like two?
Yeah, this is only his second year.
Second year. All that focus was off the court.
Yeah.
There's games where he slumped, where then it was about him on the court. But I feel like a lot of that's just growing pains.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when you have like, you know, like a speaker box of a father who's just like, look at my son, look at my son, look at my right. son. You're just like, I'm just trying to hoop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That wasn't good for him on or off the court, you know, from that circumstance. And I feel like the biggest impact isn't going to be on the court in terms of, you know, this fallout. I feel like it's really happening kind of behind the scenes within their family. If you've seen Lonzo's Instagram, you know, he has no affiliation with Triple B's on there. They
think he's going to Nike now.
Yeah, that's, well, it's funny because I think he's kind of done it cryptically. Now he has a baby picture posted with like a Nike shirt on. Really? Yeah.
I want to go look at that real quick.
Yeah. But it looks like, you know, all three of the brothers, I don't know if they've grown to resent their dad and say, hey, this has kind of all happened because of you, because it looks like none of them are really affiliated with Big Baller Brand anymore. They're trying to keep their distance. I don't know what this means for the brand. I don't know what it means for them and their family, most importantly, because I think that can be end up being the biggest fallout. You know, is this going to result in an issue of trust? You know, now I no longer trust my dad because you allow this snake to come in and take money from me.
Well, he's going to feel some type of way because, I mean, $1 million is $1 million.
Right.
I mean,
right.
If somebody you like, let's say my dad, right? He's like, hey, I know this guy, da 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 da. He's going to like take care of this for us. And then all of a sudden I have like, you know, even if it's something small, like let's say, oh, you know, those shoes you wanted? I know a guy who can get them for this amount. And I'm like, okay, bet. And then he's like, all right, have it ready. I'm going to pick it up. I'm just going to give it to him. And then I'm going to get you the shoes. I'm like, all right, cool. And then you give your dad the money and then you never see those shoes.
Right.
And you're just like, bruh, like it's the principle.
Yeah.
It's the principle. Exactly. It's what you talk about. What you just talked about. It's the lack of trust that is now there. And I think I wouldn't get over it really soon just because, I mean, you don't want to disrespect your parents. But I think having them respect you isn't disrespect. And I feel like there's a gray area in that where your parents see it very differently. I go through it, and you know, sometimes where it's like, just because we have difference of opinions doesn't mean I'm disrespecting you. It's just that I'm grown now and I see the world a different way than you.
Yeah.
With that being said, I wish him all the best. And I think, you know, whatever he decides to do, either, you know, sign with Nike. He was already wearing Nikes, you know, in summer league. He switched up a lot.
Yeah. Because he was courting his offers.
Yeah. He was trolling a little bit, but I mean, he wore Adidas in college. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, who doesn't want to sign Lonzo Ball still? I think it might not be the deal he wanted from the get go.
Oh, I think he's most vulnerable now.
He should have signed that one because he would have had, I mean, Giannis's shoe is coming out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
His shoe would have been out by now. Eventually, probably.
Yeah.
Just because he should have did it when the wave was the biggest.
Right.
And that's the thing. I think that's what he's going to think about now. He's like, dang, I lost money because I was trying to do it. I mean, that's what happens when you try to being an entrepreneur. You're going to lose money.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with unprofessionals.
Right.
But I think it'll be a learning experience for him. And I think that he's just going to go back to the drawing board. And it's like, all right, what's the next move?
Yeah. I mean,
he has a kid. Like, if I have a kid, like nothing's stopping me.
Right. I think it's going to be good for him long term because he is going to be becoming his own man.
Right.
And I think that this is one of those rites of passages for him.
Oh, for sure.
So I think this is ultimately going to end up being a good move for him, depending on on what his next moves are, what his next step is. So hopefully that all works out for him. Hopefully the family can, you know, rebuild that bond and, you know, hopefully not let this tear them apart.
Is LaMelo still going to the league or is that?
You know, that's a whole nother topic, and I don't even know.
We'll save that for a different day.
Yeah, we'll save that for a different day. Okay. Hopefully something comes out from that, because who knows what his future holds. So next up, we got Kobe had some interesting comments about LeBron and the Lakers season.
I saw some of that.
So basically, you know, he kind of told the team to be patient. Right. You don't know how the offseason is going to turn out. And then specifically about LeBron, you know, he said, hold on, these kind of seasons, you know, help make the championships worth it.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that?
Well, being a Laker fan and being a Kobe fan, like I mentioned earlier, I think when Kobe he's kind of like Jay-Z in a sense, where when he speaks, like, people listen.
Yeah.
And because his resume speaks for itself. Part of me wants to say that, like, Kobe was being, like, honest, completely honest. And part of me is just like, he's not going to talk bad right. on the Lakers. Like, I don't know why people keep trying to get him to say, like, the Lakers suck, but he's not going to say it. Like, right. he spent his entire career there. He won championships for the team. LeBron, he's not going to talk bad on LeBron James. Like,
right.
why?
Yeah.
That's just, why? And Magic's the president. Like, it's not going to happen. So I think the Lakers are going through a slump. But, I mean, the Golden State Warriors, we talked about this last episode. The Golden State Warriors wasn't even, like, on anybody's radar.
Right.
Less than 10 years ago.
No, true.
Literally less than 10 years ago. And it takes time for players to develop. It takes time for team chemistry to naturally evolve on itself. Lonzo, Kuz, and Brandon Ingram have only been playing together for 2 years.
Yeah.
All together. And you're playing alongside arguably the best player of his generation.
Right.
And you have to play at a high level every night. Like, what?
Yeah.
And people don't get it.
Exactly. And I think that Kobe remembers how
rough it was for him.
Yeah, he remembers how rough it was for him right before Pau Gasol came. That literally changed his last little stand, last little championship run. Had that never happened, you know, he probably wouldn't have even finished as a Laker.
Yeah.
So he remembers exactly how rough it was, but then at the same time, how quickly things changed.
Oh, for sure.
Once you got another star in there. So I think he realizes, even if LeBron doesn't hit the bank and get, you know, two top-notch players next offseason, if he gets one, that changes a lot.
Right.
That changes a lot, whether it was Kawhi, whether it was Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis, right. you know, whoever he gets in the fold that of that caliber, that's right. going to make a huge difference.
I find it funny that people don't say that Michael tried to get players, even if he didn't explicitly say himself. It's not like right. the organization didn't try and go and get talent to yeah. help Michael. You know yeah. what I mean? And
I mean, player mobility was just different back then, but it was, there were premier role players.
I mean, but Dennis,
fill out your roster.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
He was on the Detroit Pistons. They went, right. the Bulls went, got him. And then they won championships. Like what?
Yeah. A premier role player. One of the best defenders. Yeah. One of the best rebounders. You know, all those guys made a difference because the stars weren't really going
right.
anywhere.
Right.
But yeah, no, definitely the Bulls swapped out and got some of the best role players they could get. You know,
I'm biased. Am I sounding biased right now?
Nah, I mean, it's real. You know, yeah. whether you're talking about, you know, Steve Kerr, or you're talking about, you know, Dennis Rodman, like you mentioned. Yeah, Ron Harper.
Specialist. I think that's what Lakers should chop for this summer. It's just like a specialist. We don't need like a KD would be great.
Right.
Or like a Giannis, or like even Kyrie. Like, we just need somebody. Like, if we got Klay Thompson, that would be sick, because we know we're going to have consistent defense and consistent shooting right. night in and night out. That's what he specializes in. He's a great overall player, or all-around player, right. whatever we want to slice
yeah.
it.
And then also the best teams in the league right now, they don't have, you know, one plan of action. We all know what the Lakers' plan of action is. It's LeBron or bust. It's not, okay, maybe Kuzma is going to, you know, tear us a new one this game, and he's right. going to be the one to make a difference, or Brandon Ingram. It's basically LeBron. So if you limit LeBron, or you just let LeBron get his and don't let anyone else, you have a good shot of winning that game.
Yeah, yeah.
But all the other teams have different methods of being able to attack you.
Well, I think not just being LeBron James, but I think that's number one on the list if you're playing the Lakers. Like,
yeah.
nullify LeBron and right. then have somebody else beat us.
Yeah, nah, for sure.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, no, I would do the exact same thing. But I mean, we'll definitely see. Won't really have to talk about the Lakers that much since they are not going to be in the postseason, officially eliminated by the Brooklyn Nets
this year.
Early this week. So,
how drunk do you think D'Angelo Russell got that night? Or do you think he just went home and had a regular night?
I think he went home and had a regular night, because he's still got the playoffs in sight for him. Yeah, I think he's more professional now. LA was all bad for him. So, yeah. Speaking of playoffs, let's talk about the playoffs just a little bit. So we got some, obviously the seeding is getting closer and closer to being established as the playoffs are going to be starting in April.
Yeah.
What are some of the teams that you're looking out for and some of the playoff matchups you'd love to see in this season's playoffs?
I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Bucks do.
Yeah.
Giannis, I want to see if he takes his game to a whole nother level. To care, like, just to try to carry that team and like will that team to like the semis or like the quarters, you know.
Right.
I'm interested to see what they do. Not more so the team, more so what Giannis does. Right. If I'm being real, I'm looking to see what Toronto does this year. Surprisingly, because I don't really care what Toronto does.
Right.
But I think Kawhi and Kyle Lowry. Yeah. I think they kind of figured something out down there,
right?
Or up there, I should say, because they're north.
Yeah, we the north.
We the north.
Yeah.
Shout out to Drake. But I think, yeah, I'm interested to see what they do, and also Philadelphia. Philadelphia, everybody out west, I'm just kind of like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Except Houston. I want to see what Houston does.
Yeah.
And to really see if. Are they for real this year?
Right.
Because, I mean, you got the pieces. I mean, is James Harden going to go and try to get 50 every night? Or, like, what do you got? What kind of
game are you guys going to play? Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say Giannis, pseudo Bucks.
Right.
Kind of. Did I say Philadelphia?
Yeah, you said Philly.
Philly.
You said Toronto as well.
And Toronto. And there's one more. No? Was it three?
No, just those three. Predominantly,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know this team is reeling, but I'm still interested to see how the Celtics are going to play.
Yeah. They're always a topic of conversation.
Yeah, because I think they're the most talented roster, probably behind Golden State.
And they're young,
I don't know what Brad Stevens is going to do when it comes playoff time, because I feel like right now in the regular season, you're trying to bring Gordon Hayward into the fold. You're trying to bring Kyrie Irving back. Mm-hmm. You're trying to evenly distribute minutes. But when it comes playoff time, you're trying to win four games. And all of a sudden, people that have been in the rotation all of a sudden right. start playing from 20 minutes to 15 to 10 to, you know, a DNP.
Yeah.
So I want to see if he's going to shorten his lineup. And you know what? Those dudes that you relied on last season, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, are you going to start giving them minutes, or are you going to go back to Gordon Hayward because, you know, he's a great guy and, you know, at least he's played in the playoffs before or whatever. Like, I don't know what Brad Stevens' approach is going to be, but I feel like that makes the Celtics one of the most intriguing teams because they can't beat anybody.
Who's their center? Not Al Horford, the other guy.
Oh, Aaron Baines.
Are you going to win a championship with Aaron Baines on the floor? At your center, like, because you got to look at who he's going to be matched up with.
Yeah.
He's going to be matched up with DeMarcus Cousins.
Right. I mean, he has maintained.
Even Al Horford.
Instilled toughness in that mm-hmm. team, especially in the second unit. So I do like having Aaron Baines on the squad. Although I wish that he was as tough on the Spurs.
Right.
Because he was a softy when he was on the Spurs. Yeah. I couldn't stand him on the Spurs. But now all of a sudden he's a tough guy with the Celtics. Go figure. But they're definitely, I think, the most intriguing team for me to watch out for. In the West, I kind of agree with you. I think it's really more so about Houston, what Houston team is going to show up. I think Denver, I've watched Denver off and on, and they're too inconsistent for me.
Yeah.
You know, they play up to competition, but then they play down to competition as well.
In the beginning of the year, I absolutely agree. In the beginning of the year, I had them, I was like, oh, the Nuggets are serious this year. And then as the season progressed, I was just like,
The Nuggets. Yeah, right. I know they had a chance to extend their lead, being the number one seed, mm-hmm. and they lost to, who did they lose to? They got blown out by like Indiana or something like that. I understand Indiana's a playoff team, but mm-hmm. they didn't even have a shot in that game. So I'm not really sold on Denver. I think it's really, you know, between Golden State and Houston. But I definitely think those are the, you know, key teams that I will watch out for in this season's playoffs. Nah, I mean, the Spurs, I think, can make some noise. They can cause some frustration for one of those teams. I don't know how well they would do against like Denver, for example, if they made it up to the seventh seed. Because right now they're sitting in the eighth seed, so they wouldn't be playing Golden State. Yeah, they're not that young, but they're methodical.
Yeah.
So I think if they play Golden State in the first round, I don't think they're going to beat them. But that can make a difference because Golden State's used to playing four or five games in the first round. They're probably playing six, and it's six tough games against the Spurs. That's going to make a difference when you got to go from playing them to now playing, you know, Portland or whoever would be in the 4 and 5 seed, and then go play Houston or Denver in the Western Conference Finals.
To me, the way you beat the Spurs is you have to play fast. You have to play up tempo because they want to play. They play that old school kind of playoff basketball where it's like they play that kind of basketball in the regular season.
And that's why they struggle in the regular season at times because people can speed up.
The game down.
But in the playoffs, you can't automatically just speed the game up and score 125 a game. Like it automatically slows down to where every possession matters.
When you're playing the Warriors and they outlet it to three quarters court and then. Right. Steph is coming around a curl and he's like flying out of bounds off one leg and shooting. You know what I mean?
I think they're about the only team that can still play similar to their pace. But even then, when they slow it down, they're still just as efficient.
Right.
Not many teams can do that where it's like, it doesn't matter what tempo, but we're going to do what we do. So that'd be interesting to see. But
the last team that I saw do that was the Lakers.
Yeah.
The triangle.
Yeah.
But that's dead and gone.
Yeah, yeah. Wade, RIP to that.
Man, did this dude just did this?
Can you please explain to the people why we have the segment?
Yeah,
it's a great story, and I'm glad you shared it with me.
Yeah, so did this dude just did this? This is inspired by former NBA player John Starks. He used to play for the Knicks. I remember watching, there was like a special.
That's your homework.
Yeah.
John Starks, Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, so there was a special. It was going back to like a series because, you know, the Pacers and the Knicks used to go back at it. You know, used to go at it back in the day.
Right.
And they were talking about a particular play where for some reason one of the Pacers players, fouled John Starks in a situation he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So they're asking John Starks, you know, how he felt about it. And he's like, you know, in the moment I was shocked, you know, I'm like, I didn't know what to do. You know, I'm thinking in my head, like, man, did this dude just did this? So I took that snippet. And like I said, we just applied toward just some of the craziest things that have happened in the world of sports over the past week. So we got a few things to get into. The first thing being Conor McGregor. So last night, he announced his retirement. I'll put that in quotations because he could be trolling. I don't know. But if Conor McGregor is indeed retiring, do you think that he's going to more so go down for his greatness in the UFC or just the acts that he's now become infamous for?
I mean, his antics are legendary. His knockouts are pretty legendary too.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's a soundbite more than like a prolific. Like when you think of Conor McGregor, I'll say this. When you think of like, I'll switch lanes real quick. Boxing, right?
Yeah.
When you think of like great boxers, you think of, you know, Mike Tyson comes to mind.
Right.
You think of like
Ali.
Sonny Liston. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Joe Frazier.
Right.
You think of what's his name? Used to like swing his arms and then like hit you with the different.
I know exactly what you're talking about. What is offhand? I know exactly what you're talking about, but I can't think of the name.
I can't think of his name right now either.
Yeah.
But like they were about their sports as much as they had like off.
Right.
Like especially Mike Tyson and like Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was dealing with like political issues.
Right.
Right. Like Conor McGregor isn't trying to like change the culture of like Ireland or like, you know, help. Like in like certain areas or just bring insight to certain areas. He's just kind of like, I'm rich and I'm doing whatever I want.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's like, if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. I think it's good that he retires because he's obviously not focusing on fighting.
Yeah.
Especially with all like the charges and like attacking players. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just seemed like he I don't know if he's in a good space now, but he seemed like he definitely wasn't in a good space. Yeah. And that was last year?
Yeah. I know that he's being looked at right now for some sexual assault allegations as well. That came out shortly after he announced his retirement. So
he reminds me of like if Julian Edelman.
I was gonna say Julian Edelman on steroids, but that is Julian Edelman. So
you think Julian Edelman uses?
He used PEDs. He took PEDs? The 4-game suspension for it. So I mean, so he's a convicted PED user. Whether it actually enhanced his performance or not, still,
I don't know. That's weird. But I mean, he does. He's nice. He's probably one of the nicest white dudes I've ever seen.
No, he is. But yeah, I mean, when I'm thinking about Connor, I think he's definitely going to be remembered for all of his infamous things. We all know about the situation with Khabib and, all that stuff. And I...
Pointless.
And honestly...
I feel like he spurred that whole thing.
Right.
And
and I can't even think of what his... Honestly, it's funny because to me, his signature fight would be his fight against Floyd. Which is wild because you're an MMA fighter, right. Not even a boxer, but that's going to be what I remember you for. Yeah. And I think he's going to remember it because he got $100 million for it. biggest payday.
He got $100 million to get beat up?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had a couple punches or whatever, but I mean, he got paid $100 million to look a fool.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I get it. You know, you're not going to get $100 million elsewhere. So, why not do it or whatever? But just the things that he said on that press run and that press tour and all that stuff, I feel like he's going to be remembered for all that.
Nothing about boxing.
And nothing about MMA. No one's going to remember what he actually
did. Boxing, my bad. MMA. Nothing about MMA.
Yeah, but no one's going to remember what he actually did in the UFC. And I feel like that's unfortunate. And the UFC is quietly taking a huge hit because when you think about it, you got Conor McGregor, you got Ronda Rousey, who got knocked out of UFC
twice.
Ronda
too.
Yeah. So, I mean, she, ends up finding her way out of the UFC. And then John Jones, he's got some demons that he just can't figure out. So, I mean, you don't even know when he's actually going to be an octagon. Right. You're talking about three of the biggest names probably in the past 5 years in terms of USC.
Now I have Ronda's is practically in the octagon.
In the WWE. Right. But I mean, you've got three just larger than life stars that were supposed to just be the future of the UFC and push it forward for the next 5 to 10 years, and they're all kind of on the outs right now.
Well, I think they don't really think about it that way. They don't see it in hindsight until it's too late. It's like, well, I have the potential to take this sport to another level, literally. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dana White, poor Dana White, you know what I mean? He's been trying his best to make MMA like a household, or UFC, I should say. Right. MMA is everywhere, but like UFC, like a household name and just like into more avenues. But
right.
John Jones, I think, is a tremendous talent. I think that Conor McGregor, just to go back to Conor McGregor, it's kind of a waste, if you think about it. I mean, he got what he wanted out of it.
Right.
Which is crazy to me, too. Not that he doesn't owe us anything. Let's get that. I just want to speak on that.
That's real.
I mean, if you're listening now and you think that, I'll be real. I'm not an MMA fan. I'm just talking on something that I observe. But I would say that, if you look at somebody, if you look on the flip side, somebody like LeBron James, who completely changed the way teams play the game, because it used to be like, okay, how do we get to the finals?
And
it turned into, okay, how do we beat LeBron in the finals?
Right.
Or whoever LeBron's playing with. You know what I mean? But not just that. He's that good of a player on the court. Off the court, he's a great person. You know what I mean? He opened up a school in his hometown.
Yeah.
He just does a lot.
Yeah.
I don't want to make this about LeBron James. It's so much better than Conor McGregor. But yeah. I mean, when you brought it up, the sport, you could have done a great deal more for the sport before you left.
Yeah, and I mean, just to leave it here, I'll make this last point. When I think about Conor, Ronda Rousey, and Jon Jones, the fact that...
Jon Jones is included in that, by the way.
I mean, the fact that it seemed like none of them took their craft serious enough, and that and that ultimately led to their demise, which is crazy because you're talking about a sport where you can literally die in the octagon and you're not taking your craft serious enough. Yeah.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's unfortunate for all three of them. I mean, I hope, you know, it seems like Ronda's doing just fine in the WWE. I hope, you know, Conor and Jon Jones can get their lives together. WWE. I mean, kids and, you know, diehard fans and stuff. So, I mean, it's still got a following.
Adults.
Yeah, I mean, it comes to Fresno and, you know, they sell it out and stuff. It's got good attendance, but I know I knew it was fake and I'm not going to go pay to watch some super fake stuff. So, you know, I'm cool off that. But, hopefully they can all get it together. Next thing we got.
They're wrong.
Yeah. Next thing we got. Did you see Jeremy Lamb's half-court heave at the buzzer to beat the Raptors?
I did.
I always love seeing those kind of, you know, buzzer beaters that are just insane like that because you see the fans' reactions, you know, when the shot's going up.
Right.
You know, they're all, like, still celebrating because it's like, oh, that has no chance of going in.
Right.
And then it goes in and everyone just, like, sinks.
Yeah.
Like, it's like sinking to the floor.
Like, all the air is sucked out of the arena.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember exactly where I was when Chris Jenkins hit that heave.
Yeah, for the national championship.
For the national championships. Oh, my God, man. I was so, like, deflated.
Yeah.
Deflated by it just because Marcus Paige had just hit. Maybe that's why.
He hit a huge shot.
Yeah. That, like, corkscrew, like, half, like, double pump.
Right.
Like, shot.
Like, nothing could top that. And
right.
then Chris Jenkins said, hold my beer and drain like a 35 footer.
And he's not in the league. I'm mad.
Right. Right. Yeah. He did that for what? For what? But I guess that's the only thing that he has to claim to.
Right.
So shout out Chris Jenkins.
Yeah.
You got a national championship.
Right.
You know, cool. But that Jeremy Lamb shot was just.
I'm a
insane.
Jeremy Lamb fan, by the way. I used to watch him in college.
Yeah. He was nice at UConn. I think what made the shot also so devastating was that. The inbounds, Pascal Siakam had knocked the ball loose.
So he tipped it.
Yeah, he tipped it because it would have been about 40 feet had he just, you know, caught it where it was inbounded at. But, you know, it got knocked out, you know, back into the backcourt. And then that's when Jeremy Lamb just picked it up and heaved it.
Right.
So, like, everyone's just kind of, you know, celebrating because it's like, oh, yeah, there's no shot that's going in. Bounces off the backboard and goes right in. So it's definitely just a whole crazy sequence. I know the Hornets don't really have anything to play for the Raptors. That doesn't really matter to them that much if that happened, but still, nonetheless, just a super crazy outcome. Last thing we got to get into, and I didn't want to actually put this on a sad note. We were going to swap it around, but I forgot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we got to talk about this Yusuf Nurkic.
We can talk
Nurkic.
About something afterwards.
Yeah. We'll talk about this Yusuf Nurkic injury real quick. If you are easily squirmish, do not go look up the video.
Don't.
But if you're intrigued by all that stuff, honestly, I've only watched it once and I just felt something in my whole
entire
leg.
If you're a hooper, don't watch it.
Yeah, no.
Especially.
You'll not want to hoop at least for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
But it's one of those injuries where, you know, think about, and you mentioned off the air some of the other injuries like it. You know, when you think about Paul George, you think about Gordon Hayward.
I remember where I was when I saw that, too.
Yeah, I mean, or even when you, going back to college basketball, you think about Kevin Ware from Louisville. Those are some of the most gruesome injuries that I can think of, and they all involve lower leg injuries like that. Your leg is just never meant, is never supposed to bend that way.
No, it's not. And I think I was talking to, Audie about that. Last night when I saw it, and like I remember watching the video and hearing the snap, and I was just like,
I'm shaking my leg right now.
Yeah.
Just the thought of it.
And you have to think, she was like, how does something like that happen? And I was explaining it to her. It's a lot of things that factor into it.
Right.
You know, it's the motion, right? When our bodies are put in awkward positions, they do things that, well, things happen like that because they're not meant to bend that way.
Right.
And when you're an athlete, And your Nurkic is what, 6'10"?
He's just about 7 feet.
Right. You're that big and you're coming down with that much force. It's just not a good look. It's not a good look at all.
Right.
And also, I think with the Kevin Ware, you mentioned Kevin Ware, yeah, who played for, was that Louisville?
Yeah.
His situation, and I think, I don't know if this happens to everybody. I don't know if this happened to Paul George or Gordon Hayward, but like, I think with Kevin Ware, if I remember correctly, he had a lot of small stress fractures,
right,
already.
Yeah.
So they're like small cracks. And then once there's one that just kind of like the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Right.
And then it like it just snaps. Did it break in two places, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it did.
Or just one?
For Nurkic or for...
At first I saw his ankle. Uh-huh. And then I saw like his shin or like upper like... shin area.
You know, honestly, snap. I haven't looked into it too much because I've been afraid of seeing pictures or afraid of seeing video, you. To be completely honest. So I haven't even looked at it since then, just at the fear of that. But I'll definitely have to look it up and see kind of what the outcome has been. Yeah, but no, it's definitely just a devastating injury.
Have you ever broken any bones?
Nothing significant. I broke my nose before, mm-hmm, but that's about it. Really, it's just been, you know, sprains. I never missed. The only games I ever missed were due to like a quad injury. You know, like I was Kawhi Leonard or something. Oh, I can't play. I'm hurt. Or I had a groin injury sophomore year of high school, yeah, where I missed like 6 games. Yeah. But that was it. I've never missed like, you know, a whole season due to like a broken, you know, ankle or anything.
Freshman
like
year
that.
In high school, I missed because I missed because of grades. But I missed, excuse me, I missed because I broke my thumb.
Uh-huh.
Sheesh. Over something dumb. Oh, I got into like an altercation. But...
Oh, so you were bad.
No. It was with like somebody I know too. Uh-huh. It wasn't just like some random person. And I don't want to disclose their identity right now.
Yeah.
But it was just super dumb. And I had to be in a cast for like, you know, 2.5 months to 3 months. Wow. And it just, I wouldn't have been ready for like conditioning. I would have been like way behind in conditioning. Jeez. And all the other stuff. Mm. So I just sat out. And then, I've broken my wrist skateboarding. This is part of the reason why I stopped skateboarding, and just because I got taller and I felt awkward on a skateboard. I broke my wrist in middle school, which sucked a lot. And I was telling Adia this too. I'm like, I can't imagine what kind of pain Nurkic is going through, because mine was like my arm, right? And like, but the bones in your leg are that much bigger. And he's a big guy, too. You got to think about it.
Yes.
How your bones are, your leg bones, right? Your femur. And what's the other one? Whatever it's called. It doesn't matter.
I'm not very good at science or biology.
But anyways, they're like some of the biggest bones in your body, if not the biggest bones.
Yeah.
And like when your bones break, right? When my wrist broke, they had to reset and like realign it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a big break, but I mean, even then it felt terrible.
Right.
And I told her when I saw the injury, I was like, he's probably going to have screws.
Oh yeah. Nah, for sure. For sure. Man. I'm just squirming just at the thought of
prayers
it still.
For, man.
But nah,
prayers
definitely,
for Nurkic.
Definitely prayers up for Nurkic. All that stuff is super serious. I think hopefully he just got paid, because a lot of that stuff, you know, impacts your contract and stuff like that. You know, if you're going in the free agency, that'd be the worst time to have that kind of injury. But
he needs to contact Paul George's doctor was, and whoever Gordon Hayward.
Quick, yeah. No,
I don't know if it's the same person.
Right. Yeah.
It might be Jesus Christ. Because Paul George's doctor was.
Yeah.
God bless him.
He's the real MVP. They're the real MVP.
Yeah, truly.
Definitely shout out to them. So I know we mentioned we don't want to end this on a bad note,
definitely
or a negative
not.
Note like that. So I pulled up the NCAA brackets.
Okay.
We're just going to go through real quick because we got to wrap up before we get kicked out of here.
Right.
Let's just go through each region and decide who's going to make the Final Four, since the next time we record, Final Four would have already been set. So in the East region, you got these four teams. You got Duke, Virginia Tech, LSU, and Michigan State. Who do you think makes the Final Four out of those teams?
Duke. They have nobody to play.
Well, Michigan State's tough, but I agree with you. I think Duke's going to come out of that.
Who's the point guard for that team? Where's their headband? I forget his name. For Michigan State?
Cassius Winston. Is that who you're thinking of?
Is it Cassius? I think it is Cassius Winston. Is he a point guard or is he a shooting guard?
He might even be a combo guard.
Combo guard, whatever. Yeah, if he can score 40 points, they have a chance.
Yeah, but no, yeah. I think we both agree Duke comes out of that one.
Wait, LSU.
LSU has a nice squad. They play Michigan State in the Sweet 16.
Tremont Waters or what's his name? Is that his name?
I think that's his name, yeah. But no, they got a nice squad. I got a chance to watch them a little bit in the Maryland game. They barely squeaked that one out. But okay. They got a nice squad. But I still think Duke's coming out of the East.
Yeah.
In the West region, we got Gonzaga, Florida State, Texas Tech, and Michigan. Who do you have coming out of there?
You said Texas Tech, Michigan,
Florida State, and Gonzaga.
Ooh, that's a tough.
That is a tough one.
That's rough. Three out of those four teams, I could see moving on.
Coming out, yeah.
But if I were to give the favorite, I would give it to either Gonzaga or Michigan because they've been doing it longer. Because Michigan just won a national championship recently, I think within the last 2 years.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Michigan because of their defense. I'm gonna ride with Michigan. I know Gonzaga has one of the best offenses in the league, but kind of like how we talked about last week, all it takes is one night to go cold shooting.
Right.
Is your defense going to carry? I think Michigan has a defense for that.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Michigan comes out of the West.
I'll take your word for it.
In the South, we got Virginia, Oregon, Purdue, and Tennessee. Who do you got coming out of there?
Virginia, Oregon, Tennessee, and...
Purdue.
I'd say either... Oregon or Virginia? Yeah, Oregon or Virginia.
Interesting.
We have to give a hard take, huh?
Yeah, try to give your hard
take.
Okay,
let's just do Oregon.
Oregon?
Oregon okay. sneaks in.
All right. I'm gonna go Tennessee.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Tennessee. I can't even really tell you why, but I'm gonna go Tennessee.
They're a good team.
Yeah, no, they're definitely a good team.
What's his name? Grant.
Grant Williams.
Grant Williams. Yeah, he's a stud, man.
Yeah, he is. He's a
I wouldn't want to take a screen from that.
Right. No kidding. And last but not least, in the Midwest bracket, we already know who you're coming out of here. North Carolina.
Who's in this bracket?
North Carolina.
Okay. The Tar Heels.
Auburn, Houston, and Kentucky. I don't even know why you're thinking about it.
The Tar Heels. If we play how we're supposed to play, I don't see anybody beating us.
Yeah.
It would take a lot. I would say it would take probably Cam Johnson having an off game.
Yeah.
Luke May having an off game. Kobe White having an off game. If all three of those guys have an off game, it's hard for us to win. But I doubt all three of them combined will have an off game because they've been playing so much in sync.
Yeah.
I see us...
Yeah,
advancing.
I unfortunately have to agree with you on this one. I do think North Carolina is going to come out.
Yeah, why is that unfortunate?
Who wants North Carolina in? But no, I got to go with North Carolina coming out. The only reason I think Kentucky can give them a good run, but Kentucky struggled against Wofford in the second round, and I just haven't really been sold on them this season. They had their hot and cold moments, but I think
North Carolina, don't know who their best player is.
Yeah, right.
Is it Tyler Herro
as a freshman?
Is it Kelvin Johnson? Like, who is it?
Right. They don't really have a go-to person. And I know PJ Washington has been out. I think he's supposed to be back in the Sweet 16. But we don't know how that's gonna go. I could see them honestly losing to Houston in the Sweet 16. So I definitely think that North Carolina is going to be the team to come out. So to wrap it up, just to conclude our picks, we both have Duke coming out. You have Gonzaga. I have Michigan. You have Oregon, I have Tennessee, and we both have North Carolina. So come next podcast.
I said Gonzaga?
I thought you said Gonzaga.
Who else is in the...
Gonzaga, Texas Tech, Michigan. Or did you say...
I said Michigan.
You said Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I said Michigan.
We both got Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got three of the same picks, but we just differ between Oregon and Tennessee.
And that's a toss-up, to be real. That's a toss-up. Because Virginia might just beat them.
Yeah, but you know we talked about it last week too. Yeah. Virginia has a
they don't
they're a choking hazard.
Yeah,
so
they are.
Yeah, but no, it's interesting. We got similar picks, so hopefully come next week we'll have some interesting stuff to talk about for the bracket.
One last question. Who, well, I don't want to say who's the best player on UNC, but do you see any of the freshmen going in the top 10 or top 5 in the draft? If they do go, like Kobe White or Nasir Little?
I could, only because really the top 5 has only been talked about so far in the draft. But I think the pretty much 5 through 10, 5 through 15 is kind of a toss-up right now. Mm-hmm. So I could really see anyone going into there, and I think it's going to depend on how they wrap up in the tournament. Okay. So I could see probably Kobe White being the one to come out first, assuming he declares.
Yeah.
I could see him being the first one from UNC, okay. UNC off the board.
Okay.
But yeah, that wraps up a whole nother episode.
Another one in the books.
Yeah, another one in the books. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you have ideas for the podcast, if you want to pitch in some of your thoughts on any of the topics we discuss, if you're listening on the Anchor app, make sure to leave a voice message. We can put those into the podcast. Otherwise, send us direct messages on Instagram. You can comment on our posts as well. We'd love to incorporate those into the podcast. We love your guys' interaction. We want to be able to share your opinions and be able to speak on your opinions and things like that. So definitely any feedback you guys can give us is greatly appreciated.
Seriously, guys, if you made it this far in the podcast and you're still listening, thank you.
Yeah,
because this,
you're a real one.
Yeah, you really are. And we definitely appreciate, like what Sid said, the feedback. We're doing this for fun, but
yeah,
at the end of the day, We definitely like, we would like to have, feedback going forward. So just, interact with us. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
All right. Peace.
See you later.